The makers of the following podcast and other persons associated with the podcast do not endorse and or bear any liability for any content, statements, views, ideas or opinions expressed in this podcast by the individual participants, nor for any issue arising in connection therewith. The podcast may contain strong language and ideas or concepts that may or may not be suitable for young children. Listener's discretion is advised.
Break those norms.
Catch the music.
Drag queen, drag queen, drag queen, and then drag king, drag king, drag king.
For the one, the only.
हाँ मुझे drag करना है तो
थोड़ा traditional होना चाहिए.
हम सब performers हैं.
Waiting to blossom.
I use a word like drag artist.
That will create change.
Come and join me.
This beautiful thing which is called drag.
Yeah, that's drag for you.
Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to what is going to be a fascinating episode of In Drag. I'm very honored, actually, and today would be very illuminating because we're going to be talking to a person who I believe is a champion of drag in India, who's going to shed a lot of light as far as the entire movement, methodology, culture is concerned. They are also the founder of Dragvanti. So please put your hands together for the one, the only, Patruni Shastri, a.k.a. Suffocated Art Specimen.
Thank you so much for that introduction, but I think I'm still learning and kind of flying with that.
There, the humility seems to always flourish. So welcome to the show. Before we get into that entire facet and understanding, I would love to first understand, how did your journey start as far as this beautiful art is concerned?
Yeah, so I think mine would be the weirdest stories of all, because on a regular day, I never wanted to be a drag queen.
Right.
I thought like that was something which was very easy to be. I was just seeing as an external person. And I thought like I can't afford to be a drag queen because it's very expensive and it will burn my pockets. So having said that, I was born and brought up in a space which was surrounded by the idea of dressing up. And my mom and dad, or my family, is somebody who's from the Telugu theater background. So they are Bhagavatars. So
right.
They dress up, they do, theater plays, Telugu theater plays, etc.
Sure.
So I kind of inclined with Kuchipudi the very instant I was born. Like I saw a wonderful, heroine Ramya Krishnan dance in a Telugu movie.
Right.
And from there, I started picking up dance. My family was somebody who was supporting me at one or the other point in time as well. And I did dance for 12 years, like classical dance, Bharatanatyam, wow. Kuchipudi and Odissi. Mm. You know, it has quite an intersection of, the ideas of caste, class, from where exactly it's coming from. And these were something which were, as a queer person at that point in time, were something which were, making me repel the idea of dance, whatever I was learning.
Mm.
And that's a very good time when I saw this wonderful drag artist in Bangalore, when I went for a Bangalore Pride. This person's name was Rimi Hartz.
Okay.
So she was the one who was singing and kind of dancing in front of people. And I was like, okay, this is something which is really exciting.
Mm.
And even in the next 10 minutes, there was another drag queen who came from Chennai,
mm.
who was roasting and kind of making people scared of whatever they were doing.
Mm.
So I could see the good as well as the extreme of drag. And I realized this art form has something which no other art form has.
Mm.
You have your own pedagogy. It's now not something which is taught to you, but you are creating it yourself. So that was something which excited me, but still I didn't want to do it. I came back to Hyderabad and all of a sudden somebody said, we have everything in Hyderabad which is about queer, but no drag queens. So I said I will teach you drag. So I was kind of forcing people, do you want to perform drag? Do you want to perform drag? And people were fed up with me. They said, like, if you can't do it yourself, how can you ask somebody else to do?
It's true.
So I think that was a time when I realized, like, what was stopping me from.
Hmm.
And I noted it down in a paper that, okay, it's expensive. So, but does drag has to be expensive? No.
Hmm.
It's feminine. But does drag has to be feminine? No. It presents a certain kind of an aesthetic, but drag has to show that aesthetic? No. So with that little bit of understanding, we did our first drag event in Hyderabad around June 9, 2019. I still remember the date because we expected 21 people to kind of come, and all of them were queer friends.
Right.
And we were just waiting in the cafe for people to turn up. You won't believe, there were 500 people.
Wow.
Out of nowhere. We didn't know who they were. And there were also things going on in the background, like somebody was coming and telling, oh, we would have a police permission
right.
because we can't accommodate 500 people.
Right.
And the cafe was full, like people were not able to sit or breathe. There were glass doors, they were watching it from the other side.
Wow.
And we couldn't figure out how many queers are there, how many non-queer people were there. It was so kind yeah. of, too much of an audience. And that was the very first time when I realized that, you know, the power of drag, like how it can bring people together and the idea of curiosity which this art form creates.
Sure.
Somewhere, drag has kind of overpowered the idea of dance which I was doing.
It has dragged you into the limelight.
Yeah. It dragged me so hard that, you know, now I'm kind of fidgeting. I can't imagine dance without drag. And right now it's like 3 years of drag in Hyderabad, which is very good.
That's amazing. That actually is quite an amazing story. But okay, Patruni, how would you distinguish theatre from drag?
I think the West has always been told that, you know, drag started from the Victorian theatre.
Correct.
But I think it's wrong.
Okay.
You know, I think it's Britishers who has actually stolen drag from India and put it across. Because, you know, if I could see the very first word of drag or the concept of drag, which is called as Threevesham, was documented in a 1800 BC, text, which is called as Natyashastra. And Natyashastra has, a full-on essay about multiple ways of drag. Like you talk about animal drag, anti-beauty drag, gender, non-confirming drag. All kinds of drags were already written over there.
Sure.
With words like, you know, Srivesham, Purushavesham, Arupavesham. So these were already there and being practiced within India, you know, for centuries now. Now, when the Britishers kind of came in, they understood the idea of cross-dressing, which was basically Srivesham. They took this idea on the, you know, like on the layered level. You know, they created something which was for their benefit again,
sure.
The Victorian theatre. Now, the basic difference between theatre and drag is, there are boundaries of how you're performing.
Sure.
Performance art is more of the body, where my body becomes the canvas, whereas performing art is more of representing an idea of a character, which is certain for a certain amount of time and a certain amount of space for a certain amount of audience. So that is the major difference between performing and performance, like theatre and drag, from where exactly it's kind of coming from. And drag can also be a lifestyle. Theater can't be a lifestyle.
Ah, right.
But in India, I think it has been, drag has been there in every damn thing.
Mm.
Like dance, music, theater, puppetry, and, every aspect of it.
So, generally, ek understanding hai ke jo bhi koi drag karte hain, वो belong करते हैं to the LGBTQI community.
Mm-hmm.
तो क्या ये जरूरी है?
When the Victorian theatre started,
जी.
While the theatres were happening, all the queer people were playing the queer or the feminine characters.
Hmm.
So the stage was only a space where they can go ahead and articulate their femininity.
Hmm.
And at one point in time, it became a fight to kind of
right.
challenge the cross-dressing law. So these artists were in theater, kind of came out and performed in places which are, again, queer places. And then wo separation or segregation jo ho gaya, like theater se jo nikle hai,
correct.
And then all of these individual people kind of, you know, presenting their drag, cross-dressing and walking on street.
Huh.
So that became a kind of an imagery of a movement that, you know, LGBT people are somebody who has thrived the idea of drag.
Okay.
Because it was again used as a shield. Again, what we have to see is who were these drag performers? They're all trans people at that point in time.
Sure.
Who were trying to embrace their own femininity.
Hmm.
Because of cross-dressing laws, they were kind of being debarred from spaces. They were being kind of, put to a lot of cruelty. So it became a way to express themselves, challenge the idea of cross-dressing laws, and even led to the Stonewall writers.
Right.
There is definitely a connection between cross-dressing or drag at that point in time, which inclined with the LGBTQI+ community. So that is undetachable.
Okay.
Basically, here what exactly is happening is majority of the people who are performing drag are straight people. Like in Kathakali, Launda Nach, performances like Tayyam, the recent Bhutakola. So all these places are
right.
Performed by cisgender heterosexual people and men in special.
Sure.
So I think it is very hard for us to distinguish and say that drag is only to be performed by LGBT.
Right.
Unless and until a straight person knows the pain of a trans person, they would not be empathetic. And how can they know the pain?
Correct.
If they step into the shoes of a drag queen, or if they step into this fake space which we are kind of creating of femininity, or the exaggerated idea of femininity. I think that would help. Drag would help a lot of cis men in understanding what are the ideas of pain which a trans person goes through, what are the ideas of pain a woman would go through, what are the ideas of pain a lot of queer people will go through.
Mm-hmm.
So I think drag is a therapy for all of them. If we are saying that, okay, this is only LGBT community which has to do it, we are somewhere restricting a space which we can share with the straight people and tell them that this is my pain, you have to share it with me as well. So, anytime restricting an art form to a certain community has never helped in the history.
Yes.
Art is for empathy, right?
Absolutely.
If there's no empathy, there's no art.
So true. But kya zaruri hai ke drag ke gatekeepers ho?
Gatekeeping kahan se aata? The major problem is like people are feared.
Right.
That what if this can be misused? What if it can be used as a tool to mock us? We have seen that in the history as well. Like, we have seen shows where the, straight men will dress up as queer and kind of mock the queerity.
Yep.
Having said that, the gatekeeping only doesn't lie whether it's non-queer or queer. It also lies within people like, okay, pansexuals nahi karna. We don't need drag kings. We don't need drag kings of a certain type. We don't need drag queens who are looking nasty. We just need, the beauty, the idea of elegance is what something which is constantly being served in the drag community.
Hmm.
India is a better space. I haven't faced any kind of, gatekeeping. I haven't experienced such kind of a gatekeeping, even from when they know that I'm a married person.
Hmm.
I'm a pansexual married person. And, I look like a cisgender person for a lot of people.
Yeah.
The idea of drag is definitely something which we are still kind of copying from the West.
Yes.
The book which is there in the West is RuPaul's Drag Race, from where we are picking up these identities and kind of presenting.
Right.
There are a lot of people who are going to those spaces and kind of challenging their intention or their ideas. For example, I would like to mention this wonderful drag artist from Canada who are Indian origin.
Mm-hmm.
Their name is Bombay. And they presented Kathakali as an outfit for a RuPaul's Drag Race space.
Nice.
So I think that is something which is how we can do drag in a proper way.
Sure.
I have seen Indian drag queens embrace the idea of Indian aesthetics or kind of picking it from local art forms.
Yep.
Out of 6 to 7 drag artists, 3 or 4 people only wear sadis. Like, I can talk about my other drag queen, me, and there are other more people who are wearing sadis and kind of ensuring that it's a part of our drag repertoire.
Right.
I know this wonderful performer who does Launda Nach and also uses drag as a way to kind of address their art form, who are an actor from NSD. So they constantly are doing it. They are trying to modernize or pick up things from the Western drag and presenting it.
Right, right. So is it correct to say that we have been able to embrace the Indianness of drag? Because a lot of the ideas, the performance ideas, etc., seem to be coming from the Western concept of drag.
The reason why they are again copying it from the West is because of the spaces which they are performing. If I'm doing it in a club, which is again a queer-based club, where people who are kind of coming at that point and the audience are somebody who are watching RuPaul's Drag Race.
Hmm.
So they can relate to a westernized idea. Like, for example, Hyderabad, if I'm wearing a dress and if I'm walking and performing in any kind of non-queer space,
sure,
people will kind of disapprove me right over there.
Hmm.
So it's always a sari is something which would they relate to. And, me singing Telugu songs to them,
yes,
is something which is relating to them. And that's how they are signing up for my drag shows. So it again kind of dials down to the spaces and the curators. Like, still, if I'm performing at any club, they would ask me to do an English number than that of any Telugu or regional number.
Mm-hmm.
Because they think that English number would kind of highlight their idea of, inclusion or give them a posh look or posh identity of drag.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream space for drag, which we have it in India, is still looking for something which is, Western. Mm. And I think if the artists who are doing an Indian setup or who are doing an Indian aesthetic are given more chance or more visibility, the notion of drag would change and people would be able to own it. This is something which I learned from my experience. My mom and dad didn't understand what I was doing unless and until I started performing in Telugu.
Hmm.
And right now, sitting in Hyderabad, what I feel is like there are a lot of Telugu audience who are kind of coming to drag shows.
Hmm.
And, that is something which we need to nurture, and we can definitely overpower RuPaul in just a couple of years.
Hmm. So I want you to really kind of tell us what exactly is Tranimal?
Firstly, I started Tranimal because I didn't want to kind of comply with the idea of beauty, which the Western drag always kind of puts in. You know, having something on, you know, breastplates and creating something which is an imagery of woman. Those were all the aspects which I was thinking drag had a problem with.
Right.
Because time and again, you know, we started from being visibly cis-passing woman to now where we can express our own gender, but still kind of holding on to the idea that we have to look like a woman if we are a drag queen. So Tranimal drag movement was started by Augustine Young as a part of, you know, exhibition.
Right.
Where they asked around 6 to 7 people to kind of drag themselves up, which is very, in a tacky-ish way, you know, with trash on their face. And there are wonderful drag artists like Divine, Fed Up Ray. It's just that they put every damn thing onto their body and create this look which is either alien, it's not beauty for sure. And it's exaggerated idea of disbeauty or ugliness. Or, you know, it's cheap, it's available. So, Tranimal became a shell for me to kind of re-embrace or re-question the idea of what gender is. Like when I'm doing Tranimal, I don't present a certain gender. I sometimes hide inside the idea of the Tranimal, where I put a cover on my face and create something out of it.
Sure.
Where the idea is, the gender is not visible at all. You have
completely blurred, for example, right?
Yeah. And everything which I put in has no purpose.
Right.
Like the makeup has no purpose. I'm just placing multiple things on my body. My body becomes my canvas and I'm presenting it to people, asking them to look at me and accept me for who I am.
Yeah.
The reason why I did this, first, they can't afford to have luxurious idea. And secondly, there are too many beautiful queens.
Correct.
Let them be a couple of ugly queens as well. And third being, it's also demystifying everything which drag is kind of called out for. For example, drag is called out as an art form which is mocking women or mocking trans people, where it's kind of sexualizing women in Tranimal drag. We are not wearing nails. We are not putting something to enhance our breast. We are just doing something which gives an alienated figure. You can't come and call us out like, oh, this looks like a woman. None of it looks like a woman. It looks like some alien creature. Also, Tranimal drag is also kind of anti-beauty. It doesn't talk about beautiness in its own way.
Sure.
So it represents a lot of people who have a rare skin condition or who are acid attack victims and, you know, a lot of other
very interesting
buckets, which tells people that you can do drag. You know, you can do my style of drag. It doesn't need you to be beautiful, or you don't have to stand in that line of beauty.
Nice.
You can come to this line of beauty. So it's an alter beauty or alternation of drag.
But is that the reason also that you chose this drag name of suffocated art specimen?
Because Tranimal is suffocating.
Okay.
It's just that imagine, you know, you are wearing a pantyhose on your face and then putting a lot of things. It definitely suffocates.
Right.
You know, it's more of a physical, you know, drag element than that of aesthetic.
Right.
And suffocated art specimen again comes from a space. Like my last name is Shastri, which is S-A-S-T-R-Y. And that is very casteist. This entire burden of having a, you know, deliberate title of caste on your face is something which is very suffocating. So I bisected it in between. I said like SAS, which is...
That's what I was going
to say. SAS, again, it's like SAS. SAS, you know, you can spell it in multiple ways.
SAS is breath as well.
SAS is breath. So I think I'm just... played with that word suffocated art specimen, where I think each of my drag presentation is a specimen.
Right. Within the community, there is, you know, drag queen and drag king. So, thoda ironically ho jata Patruni, because again, we are kind of conforming to the conventional gender methodologies.
Indeed. So, I think, you know, the drag queen was a word which was used for people who were trans women, but pre-trans, like pre-transition.
Okay.
And as they were transitioning, they used to use as drag queens and then they would transition as a trans woman.
Right.
The beauty of it is like, hum log drag queens use kare, drag kings use kare, but there's no definition like only woman has to perform as man and man has to perform as woman.
Sure.
There are a lot of drag queens, you know, they again use the words like bio queen or folk queen, where a woman dresses up as a drag queen or a man dresses up as a drag king. Even trans people can do drag.
Sure.
But having said that, right now people who are non-binary people or non-binary artists within the drag community are kind of challenging that notion of drag queen and drag king, and they use a word like drag artist. Like I use a word like drag artist, which is a better way of representing or telling.
Yes.
You know, we even within the LGBT community, a lot of things which we need to change. And drag king and queen is one of them. But with the popular notion, because we have heard drag queen, drag queen, drag queen, and then drag king, drag king, drag king.
Right.
If I'm not using a drag queen word, they will not book me for any shows and I have to starve to hell.
Right. But moving forward, kya lagta hai aapko in terms of the movement as far as drag is concerned? Are we going the right direction?
In India, the scene is growing. We are more diverse people who are doing drag. The numbers are growing. I still remember the last survey which I did for Dragvanti was around 57 members who are performing drags. And right now it's 105.
Nice.
So these are people again from multiple spaces like Chandigarh. There are people who are from Chhattisgarh, Jharkhand, Bihar. You know, rurals, you know, urban. So it's spreading across in a very holistic way. Let's not take everything from the West.
Yes.
Let's filter them out as well so that we can create a better space for our own self and for our own aesthetic of drag.
Fabulous. Well, Patruni, thank you so much for being on the show. And I really wish you all the best. And I really wish that this movement can carry on with champions like you and truly flourish in times to come. So thank you once again.
Thank you.
So to all of you awesome people, with that we come to the end of another dazzling episode of In Drag. But worry not, because here's a tiny peek at what's in the next episode with Bloody Kameena.
I see very less representation of AFABs in the leadership, you know. Similarly, coming to drag, I mean, there are so many drag queens, but hardly few drag kings in the country right now. You can hardly count them on fingers. So, isi soch ko to badalna hai.
This was a Turtle on a Hammock Films original podcast, hosted by Sudhir Sachdev, executive produced by Avinash Kumar Singh, produced by Geeta Singh, directed, mixed and engineered by Jigisha Patil, art and publicity design by Pooja Ray, guest recording studio, Sounddog Studios, Hyderabad. Sound recording copyright 2023 by Turtle on a Hammock Films LLP. All rights reserved.